This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 5th, 2017. The 21st Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
O priests, this command is for you. In the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I love the priesthood. I love discussing the priesthood. I love expounding on the priesthood. The scripture has a very interesting way in being a two-edged sword. You can go to a lot of places in scripture and you can really emphasize the glories of the priesthood, and rightfully so. However, scripture is true in all its facets, and there is a facet where God, if you want to use anthropomorphic or human terms, becomes enraged. God is not bound like we are to emotions. He is impassible. However, again, in human terms, he is enraged over an aspect of his people at the time of this writing of Malachi, and that is the corruption of his priesthood. The whole context of this prophecy of Malachi is God being, let's just say, less than satisfied with his people. And he blames it on one thing. He blames it on the corruption of the priesthood. So, oh, good, we're going to have a homily on a lesson from the Old Testament about what happened to them way back when. Let me start out by saying this. That everything that God is enraged about at the time of Malachi is going on this morning in spades. Everything. The Holy Spirit does not give us scripture to give us history lessons. He gives us scripture to let us know something. And we in our fallen state have a serious problem with learning from the past. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what enraged him in the past enrages him now. And it's the corruption of the priesthood. We lament. A lot of people around here lament over the things that go on in the church. God gives us a reason why these things happen. Is it because God has turned away from us? No. It is because of the corruption of the priesthood, now as it was then. The things that our Lord points out to these priests at the time of Malachi, we'll go through them from back in the day, and then we'll bring them forward. God poses a question to these priests. And notice he emphasizes with them, I got a problem with my people. But this is for you, priests. If I'm a father, where is my honor? If I'm a father, where is my honor? Back in those days, it hadn't been too long ago since they'd seen his works with their own eyes. They know he's their father, and he's being dishonored by the way they act. He points out some specifics. He says, O priests who despise my name, and he actually answers for them, playing devil's advocate. He says, how have we despised your name? And notice he does not say, you're not preaching eloquently so the people understand. He doesn't say, I'm upset because you are not welcoming. He doesn't say, I'm upset because you're not being merciful enough. He says one thing. He says, you despise my name by thinking that the Lord's table may be despised. The Lord's table may be despised. In those days, That was an altar on which animals were killed. The priest despised his table by offering less than what our Lord demands of his people. In those days when you appeased God by offering lambs and bulls and goats, you had to bring the best one you had, the absolute best one. You know, you're talking about the days when animals are real property. Animals are what we eat. Animals are what we sell so we can get some stuff to eat. It is a sign of your wealth. And, well, God wants one. Oh, let's get the scrawny one over there because that's not going to fetch a very big price at the market or in bartering. What do you got to bring God? The best one you have. The best one. And what these priests had been doing was because they got some of that stuff, because, you know, they don't have jobs, they work in the temple, and God rightfully so says, no, you know, the priests aren't worthy of their honor, so they get a portion of what you get. So when they bring these perfect animals in, the priest goes, hey, you know what, I got a flock of goats, and that one that that person brought is perfect. It's big, it's strong, that will fetch a good price. Guess what? I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to take one from my flock that's not so good, and I'm going to give it to God. They despised his table. Hold the thought. He criticizes them for looking at their liturgical responsibilities and saying, what a weariness this is. God's got so many rules about how to do things. He wants us to do this. He wants us to say this. And he wants us to wash and stand this way. He wants us to wear this and wear that. This is a weariness. So they start cutting corners. They don't do what God wants them to do. And he is enraged. God is so overwhelmed by this, or I should say underwhelmed by this, that he says he's going to do something to these priests. And guess what? For decorum's sake, and because there's some little ones here, I'm not going to tell you what it is. There's a little catalyst right there to open that Bible in front of you and read Malachi chapter 2, verse 3. Or take a note and go home and go, hey, I've never read the Bible, but I want to see what God's going to do to these bad priests. The second chapter of Malachi, verse 3. See what God is going to do to these priests. He is that upset. If God is this upset over priests who are nothing more than, for all intent and purposes, butchers. You bring an animal to them, they kill it on the altar, and you're good until the next year when you got to bring another animal, or to when you sin and you got to bring another animal. Then they'll butcher that one for you too. They do that, and if you really get higher up on the rungs of the priest ladder, you get to interpret the law. But it's really nothing that defies human reason or understanding. It's just, you know, God called them to that and they do things for us. Just in that capacity, just in their capacity, God is threatening to take his hand of blessing off his people. Let us move forward to our day. God is, as I said, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our priesthood, the Christian priesthood, is apples and oranges different than butchering animals on an altar or interpreting the law. The Roman Catechism says of the priesthood, the priests, and I quote, have the power of consecrating and offering the body and blood of our Lord and forgiving sins. Not only has nothing equal or like it on earth, but this even surpasses human reason and understanding. If God is this upset with butchers who can interpret the law, how much more upset will he be with a priesthood who is entrusted to the point where God does what they say? Like, whoa, 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 watch that kind of talk. Well, that talk is from St. John Vianney. The first time I read that, it was really, I was like, whoa, hey, that's a little bit much. St. John Vianney says, the priest is someone who in this world, God listens to him. whoa, that's God doesn't listen to anyone. He's God. Think about the Mass. When Father says, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven and turns bread into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God Almighty Himself. When you go into the confessional, you want to confess your sins to God. You want to confess your sins to God, and you look at a priest, and he doesn't say, Jesus absolves you of your sin. He says, I absolve you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is how directly related the New Testament priest is to God. That is how closely he represents God. He doesn't stand up here at this altar and say, this is the Lord's body. This is the chalice of the Lord's blood. He says, this is my body. This is my blood, because he acts in persona Christi. If these butchers made God this upset to where he was going to take his hand of blessing off them and off his people, how much more in our day and age? And those things that I mentioned, as I said before, are done in spades. Every day in many, many parishes. Not all, but in many. If I am a father, where is my honor? Do the priests everywhere act as if they're honoring divinity? Or is it just so much mechanics? Get them in, get them out. Which lends to the next one. O priest who despise my name by thinking that the Lord's table may be despised. I share this often, small groups, large, saying it publicly, it's recorded. At least 50% of the time when I attend Mass at various and sundry parishes, I close my eyes because I am disgusted with what I see in the way our Lord is treated at the altar by his priests and by the people who approach. But it's on the priest. Why should the people approach any differently? Why should they approach reverently when Father is acting like he's just doing whatever? Why should they? Well, most Catholics don't even believe in transubstantiation. Why should they? Priests don't act like it's God. They despise the Lord's table. Historically, you come up, you come to the altar rail, you come in reverence, you come and you kneel, and you receive a blessing. Each and every individual receives a blessing. The entire blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life with the sign of the cross. And then move on to the next communicant who gets the same blessing. That's how our Lord acted to people. Did he just kind of blanket stuff for them? No. He dealt with each individual in a loving and respectful way. And he ministered to them as individuals. Each person who is properly predisposed that comes up should receive the blessing of our Lord. Not mechanically waltz up the center aisle, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. Oh my gosh, you kneeled. Stop. Hey, I'm going to address you at the end of this. Don't kneel, you hold up things. Don't receive on the tongue. That is not their business. The United States Council of Catholic Bishops says that is the recipient of communion. That's their business as to how they receive communion, not the one who distributes. That's the USCCB. The Lord's table is despised in our day. Our Lord is not reverenced on the altar. What a weariness this is, the prophet says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the liturgical. What a weariness this is. What a weariness this is. Over the past 50 years, we've done nothing but mitigate the Mass. But we come in for Mass. We come up to the altar and we stop. And we say a confiteor. We make confession. That is not the start of Mass. We do that before Mass. Mass doesn't start until Father gets up there and crosses himself for the introit. Down here is just, we're not worthy to even come up to this altar, especially me. I'm not worthy to do what I do. I'm going to stop right here before, and I'm going to offer myself up. I'm going to let you know, I know that I'm not worthy to do this. Let's not do that anymore. Let's not do that anymore. Historically, there were three prayers said at the beginning of Mass. 2 to 3 prayers. No, it's actually prohibited. You will not say more than one prayer at the beginning of Mass. Let's pray less. There used to be several genuflections during the Mass. More than several genuflections. Now, if you're lucky, you get 2. I've been to Masses where there is no genuflection made to our Lord. Historically, every time the celebrant was going to touch the Blessed Sacrament, he genuflected before and he genuflected after. I've heard people instruct other people. You don't genuflect again. You've already genuflected one time. You parents out there, how'd you like your parents to come over, the grandparents of children, on Christmas morning, and they get a present, say thank you. Thank you, and the next grandparent comes in, here's another present. What are you going to do? You say thank you. I've already said thank you once. We wouldn't allow a child to do that, but we'll come before Almighty God, and we'll genuflect once because we've done it once. It's mitigation. We are mitigating ourselves to perdition. The Holy Spirit has worked through His church to give us these profound symbols, these deep and theologically instructive actions, words. They teach us something about our faith. Let's not do that anymore. Why don't people believe in transubstantiation? God was angry back then. How much more angry is He now? He says in the prophecy, you have called many to stumble by your instruction. Every time we turn on a computer, read something Catholic, we also read about the droves who are leaving the church. I honestly tell a lot of people, you know, I really don't think people are leaving the church because most of them don't know what the church is about. They've never been exposed to the church the way it's always been. They've been exposed to some social justice organization. And heck, I can leave here and go to the Salvation Army. I'm good. That's why they're leaving. They're leaving because our Lord has taken His hand of blessing away because of the corruption of the priesthood. It is about what we do, not just about what we say. Our Lord Jesus Christ says that explicitly in the gospel today. He says, do what they say, don't do what they do. St. Paul in the second reading brags about the fact, and guess what? They left this particular verse out of the reading today. Go figure. We heard a lot about him preaching the word and preaching the gospel, but they left out the verse where he says, you are witnesses. We are righteous and blameless, our behavior before you believers. They acted like priests. They acted like apostles. We're supposed to do that. It's not a matter of acting priestly when you celebrate Mass and then throwing on the khakis and the golf shirt and waltzing out the door. It's not a matter of being approachable. It's a matter of priestly dignity. We get seminarians that come here, and I always have them read a book, St. John Euatus' book. It's called, the title of it is The Priesthood, Its Dignity and Its Obligations. There is a dignity to the priesthood. Priests should look like priests all the time. They should act like priests all the time. They should act like what they talk about all the time. If you're lucky enough to get one that at least even talks about the gospel. I don't like to talk about that sin stuff because people get upset about it. They don't want to hear about that stuff. Let's just sing another chorus of All Are Welcome. It is about sin. It is about repentance. It is about our love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it's all about. This is why we do all these things, out of love for Him. We don't act like we love God. We act like more broad than this. We act like we are superstitious heathens. I come to Mass on Sundays because I know that's what I have to do or I'll go to hell. That's not your faith. Your faith is something that's lived. Your faith is something that is a witness to God. In the prophecy of Malachi, he actually says that. I'm enraged at you because you have compromised the witness of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. And it's not something difficult. The Levitical priesthood, the witness of that priesthood was a fear of God, humility, and sincerity in speech. And by sincerity of speech, it means saying what God says in its entirety. Not hacking up the scriptures and taking this verse and leaving this sentence out. If you look at your bulletins, Malachi, it's like, okay, read the second half of this verse, skip a verse, read the next verse, skip three, and then read two more. Something's going on there. That is tremendously problematic. It's not sincere because it's not all what God says. It is communicating life and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's communicating reverential love for the one who did that for us. That's what this is about. That's what this is about, and we need to appreciate it. We talk about our sin, you know, every Mass. We say thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. We ought to live positively in thought, word, and deed for his divine majesty. So yeah, this has been a real nice lesson on the priesthood. No, it's very practical for you. Because as I said, the priesthood directly affects the faithful. God will take his hand of blessing away from you because of a corruption of the priesthood. Well, what can I do about that? You can pray. You need to pray for priests. That sounds kind of self-serving. And guess what? Kind of is. Shameless commercial. Pray for me. All right? I need all the help I can get. But I would actually ask that you would do this. Before you pray for me, and I mean this in all sincerity, pray for the worst priest you know. Pray for the priest that might have driven you here. All right? They need it. Pray for those priests. Because they are the subjects of, you have caused many to stumble by your instruction. They've caused many to stumble. You need to pray for them. They are answerable for every soul to whom they speak. You know, most of us, you know, it's really kind of overwhelming for the priesthood. You think to yourself, you know, I've messed up my own life for countless decades, and now I'm responsible for everybody that hears what I got to say. It is truly overwhelming. But they're responsible for it. At least I'm scared of it. They're not. Pray for the worst ones you know. Pray for the worst homilists. Pray for the ones who are the most irreverent before the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. And it's really kind of weird to sit up here and watch people nod their heads when I'm going through this list. It's sad. It is truly sad. The priesthood directly affects you. It directly affects your family. Priests can mess up the Mass. They can mess up the Eucharist so bad. They can mess up confessions so bad that they are not valid. I'll end with this example. A person came into the confessional one time. I'm not going to talk about his confession. Well, I'm going to tell the bishop. I'm not talking about his confession per se, but I'm going to talk about how he started it. He said, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 45 minutes since my last confession." I was like, what? What? I've heard 45 years. That, you know, I've heard that. That's kind of common. You know, but 45 minutes. I was like, "What?" I was like, "What? What'd you do in the parking lot?" 45 minutes, and I was. He could tell. I was like, "I'm not sure about this." And he said, "I don't think I was involved." I said, "Why would you say that?" He said, "Because he told me to make up my own absolution." Guess what? You weren't absolved. You can't make up your own absolution. Only a priest can absolve you. And there is a form that you need for absolution. The sacrament was invalid because this priest did not honor his father. He despised the Lord. He figured it's weariness to say the absolution. I'm not judging his heart. I'm just saying that the sacrament was invalid. That is how dangerous this is. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.